Dearest Master and Lord, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, our Ananta Koti pranams at Thy divine lotus feet. Bhagavan, thank you once again for bestowing all your children here with this golden opportunity of celebrating Buddha Purnima in your immediate divine presence. To commence this evening celebration, we gladly invite Dr. V.K. Ravindran, Chairman of Zone 4 Countries, once again to introduce the speakers for today.
I offer my humble pranams and salutations at the lotus feet of our omnipresent Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today is the second day of the Buddha Purnima celebrations, and we have a wonderful program for you this evening. We have two distinguished guests from the Tibetan monastery in Hubli, and I'll introduce them one after the other. The first speaker is Venerable Aron Lobsang Thardot. Venerable Aron Lobsang Thardot is a specialist in Nalanda philosophy, holding lessons and directly transmitted experiences of great profound masters of Drepung Monastic University based at Moongot, Hubli, Karnataka. Born and raised in Singapore, Aron graduated from the high school with a Cambridge certificate. He was drawn to Nalanda philosophy and its powerful logic systems through his association with Drepung University. His objective is to apply Nalanda logic in modern environments, envisioning a resurrected learning space for Nalanda University in the 21st century. Through its insights, initiative, attention to detail, Nalanda logic can be used to deliver outstanding results for the modern world. Yet another wonderful speaker is Venerable Gese Dr. Lobsang Lundup. He is a guest senior monk with us today. He is from the Vajrayana Buddhistic order, known to many as the order headed by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Venerable Gese Dr. Lobsang Lundup is Vice Abbot of Tibet's largest monastic university, which is Drepung Losaling Monastery in Moongot, Hubli, India. He holds the much coveted Geshe Larampa degree, equivalent to PhD in metaphysics, an honor bestowed only to the best of all major Tibetan monasteries. In a span of 79 years, Geshe Lobsang Lundup served in various capacities to see through the initial difficult years when, under the leadership of the Dalai Lama, he, along with 300 pioneers, helped to re-establish their tradition in the 2,800 acres of land called the Tibetan Settlement in Moongot, Hubli, India. Today, the community stands at about 30,000 monks. From 1980 onwards, Geshe Lobsang Lundup opted to concentrate on teaching and tutoring monks in Moongot. Let me welcome the first speaker, Venerable Aron Lobsang Thardot.
With Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dharmaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. A patient once went to see a doctor and complained to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm having so many medicines for my different ailments. Doctor, can you give me a solution where I could just take one medicine that would solve all my problems of my ailments?" The doctor then said, "Well, there is a solution for that, and the solution is love." And the patient then asked, "Oh, doctor, is it that easy? And what if it doesn't go, if my ailments doesn't go, what do I do next?" He then said, "Just increase the dose." Brothers and sisters here, today we are commemorating again, after so many thousand years, this Buddha Purnima. But what makes this special this time is with the divine presence of Satya Sai Baba, who has lived and followed and embraced Buddhism the way it is 2,000 years ago. Always in need of helping the needy, always wanting to see away our sufferings for the benefit of all mankind. And this ability that makes us all unique, makes us all special as a human race, is not just in love itself, but the ability to love. We have been bestowed with this special gift, this special ability that just does not have any limit. The more you love, the more you find yourself in love, the more you get absorbed in loving, and the more you find and experience divinity. It is not far away from us. It is very close to our hearts. It is what makes us special. It tames the wildest tigers, elephants, lions in the jungles into kittens, puppies, like creatures with just a human touch. And that human touch is love. There's nothing more that is required. It's just this love. We want to always remember how different we are from the other beings in our ability to love. No matter what, never give up. No matter what, continue your love. Continue to love. As Baba often says, love ever, hurt never. Love is his form, truth is his word. There's nothing more, there's nothing deeper, there's nothing, anything else to be discovered but love in its highest degree, that is within ourselves. Let us not waste a single drop of this love by not allowing ourselves to love. Love as much as you can. Continue to love, and you will find the secret medicine to all ailments is in that simple ability to love. I would like now to bring a very special person to me, my senior tutor, who has been always been with me through my years of learning in my Drupal monastery. And with limited time, my deepest pranams to all of you, and I shall extend the next time for my teacher. Sayonara.
ਤਾਰੀ ਦੇ ਬਾਹਾਂ ਬੋਧਾ ਕੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਸ਼ਿਵ ਜੀ ਜੀ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਲਾ ਤਾਰੀ ਚਰਮ ਤੋਂ ਕਹਾਂਗਾ ਦੇਨ ਤੋਂ ਦੇਨ ਸੰਜੇ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇ ਤਾਂ ਸ਼ਿਵ ਜੀ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਚੇ ਬਤੇ ਲਾ ਨੇ ਤਾਂ ਸ਼ਿਵ ਦੇ ਸ਼ੁਗੀ
Venerable Rup Samlandu wishes to extend his deepest appreciation for all of you in putting this participation in a very special event on Buddha Purnima.
In the Santa Chimbatilla, Naraya Deva, Nyondu, Chachovati, Nasuno Chimbati, Titangu.
He feels that it is with his great merits that he is able to be here in this very special place to commemorate Buddha Purnima with all of you.
And ta Buddha de tani cheba chonga nyaga tela amale cheba amale chine mutu chetong do mendai
On this very special day that was commemorated by Buddha, at this special time, all beings in the world rejoice in his being here with us.
And
it is said that in the first seven steps of Lord Buddha in this earth, the flowers that bloom, the gods, the spirits of the whole world rejoiced in his first seven steps that he took. And with these seven steps, it's where he is said to have conquered his position as being the king. He's born to a mother by the name of Jema Lanzin. And his name is Jonathan Dup. Born with the kingdom, being enthroned as a prince, wherever he traveled with massive of chariots and guards following him wherever he left around the palace. On his very first encounter out of the palace, he encountered an old person with a walking stick. And then he asked his advisor, "What is this? What has happened to this man?" And the advisor said that this man has now grown old to become an old man. And then Lord Buddha asked, "Will this happen to everybody?" And the wise man replied, "Yes, this will happen to everybody." Everyone inevitably will have to go through the process of aging. As soon as he saw this, he returned immediately to his palace and kept that in mind of what aging is and meditated on compassion, loving compassion about aging, the suffering of aging.
Oh, yeah, lo ni nyama dung ge de chong chu chi sai de gu. Ni ji chen bu gu ji ni. Yo nyama ji dan ji no ji ji ni. Chang chang la pei wa de yi shi de.
He stayed in that state for 7 days, meditating on the suffering of old age and loving kindness. And after the 7th day, on the 8th day, he went out again. And on the 8th day, after leaving the palace again, while out of the palace, he saw a dead body that was being carried around. Likewise, he asked the wise man, what has happened to this man? And the wise man then explained that this man has passed away. And then he asked the wise man, will this also happen to me? He said, yes, it will happen to everybody. And then again, he immediately returned to his palace to again meditate on the loving kindness of suffering of death. And he continued to stay like that until he was 29 years old. After 29 years, again he went out, and this time after leaving the palace, he saw a sannyasi. And immediately upon seeing that, he enrolled on the path of sannyasi, and he returned to his palace and renounced all his powers as a king and took on the vow of a sannyasi by removing his hair.
And the chimlama deva de chimpone jagadoji dela ro truge pato chongju ji sengu tomba ni gun nende ro truba de jubarista.
And there in Bodh Gaya was where he sat down for the next 6 years of his life in meditation. For the first 3 years, he only survived on 3 rice grains, which was boiled, and that was all his meal for the day, for the first 3 years of his life.
And
vigorously he sat down in the search for enlightenment to the extent where he even avoided food and found himself in a very weak position where his body was very weak, too weak enough even to eat. And thereby a village, a man came who was a milk seller who fed him milk for 1 month continuously, seeing this man in a very poor state to allow him to have the energy for his body.
And then
he realized that no man from here on shall go through this difficulty that I had gone through to realize this very special state of mind, enlightenment. And immediately, as soon as he regained his strength, realized that his sole motive was to free men of his suffering. And he proceeded to Varanasi.
And
upon reaching Varanasi, his five followers who realized the enlightened state of Buddha, Lord Buddha himself, requested the first teachings to be bestowed upon them. So the initial persons who received these very special teachings was only none other than the five followers who were with him in the forest in Varanasi. So what it is that is going to be taught when the followers ask Lord Buddha? So he said that there is going to be two teachings that is going to be bestowed to them, for them, and that which is one, for the benefit of all sentient beings, and to the practice itself. So for the inner awareness, the most important of it all is the meditation of loving kindness. And in terms of the external practice, one should never engage in the practice of hurting anything, stealing from anybody, telling lies, or any of the non-virtue actions. What Buddha has explained to the followers, his disciples, was that how I've experienced this myself is the direct teachings that I'm giving it to you, and this is something that will benefit you, and if you follow likewise, you shall too attain the same. Engage in the path of righteousness, the path of goodness, is that for every good that we seed onto others, the same good continues, the same good comes back to us, and in that way, the whole humanity, the whole human race, the whole beings will come into this action, into this act of righteousness, the act of sowing good seeds, that will in turn turn the entire realms into realms of bliss and happiness. A very good example for this is to see, take a pet animal of a dog or a cat. If we give love to the animal by giving the animal food and giving the animal love, the animal stays very close to its owner. However, if you were to take a stick and beat the cat or the dog, then he will want to stay as far away as possible from the owner itself. Likewise, just as the animals who long to be with goodness, to long to be with love, more and more human beings, more and more people and other beings will continue to be in this act of goodness because they all long to be along with the goodness, not with suffering. And likewise, if we continue in this way, very clearly and evidently, just as how India has evidently been through a process by which she has always practiced non-violence, today we are all benefiting that in this very same regard, that we do not want violence to be returned unto us, and today India stands very firmly in the act of non-violence.
Ani pa ma jo no tobi jo no ko ka ka de ga ma re ru ko cho ma ma tam to me na ke se gi yo wo te shin wo pa ma jo wo tho ma jo me lo du ni te me ge khon te de de zo sen che po me ke zo me se ri che te je de me lo du bo ton la de ton go do sen ba de ton go do as.
However, if we take the other path of violence, going in for war, we create more enemies. And those enemies, when experience these difficulties, keep within themselves anger, hatred, and will then want to return this onto the giver. And this, in turn, turns out to be a suffering for everybody. Master, would like to thank everybody for their time and their participation in this Buddha Purnima, and he's again, once again, appreciates the merits of being able to express this very special time with all of you.
Sharanam gacchami, dhammam sharanam gacchami, sangam sharanam gacchami, satya saisha sharanam gacchami. There are countless stories on how each and every one of us were touched and mesmerized by our beloved Saishwara. Each a story so intricately and fabulously created by none other than our Lord Himself. On this auspicious and holy Buddha Purnima, we, the Sai youths of Malaysia, would like to offer at Thy Divine Lotus Feet a humble drama presentation titled The Master Lives On. Jai Sai Ram.
Swami's work. Swami was, after all, such a big part of his life.
Love on. Listen to the call of the Lord.
an ever-spirited Sai devotee, young Anand shone brilliantly as an inspiring youngster to many. A star Palvikas student, bright and lively, he blossomed into an energetic, dynamic youth who lived his life for Swami. There was not a Sai activity he was not a part of. He used to zip here and there, always in a rush, always wanting to do, do, do. Serve, serve, serve. Swami's work, Swami's work. Swami was, after all, such a big part of his life. One day, Anand had just come back from Puttaparthi, and members of the Sai Center were all eager to hear his experiences.
Sai Ram, my dear boy, how are you? How was your recent trip to Puttaparthi?
Sai Ram, uncle, Sai Ram, how are you? I'm okay. So sorry, uncle, I'm rushing off. So busy, so many activities this weekend, all packed. Grama Seva, Bhajan workshops, Gayatri chanting for world peace. Ah, so much to do and so little time.
Wow, you are a busy young man. As usual, always for Sai. A shining star in Swami's heavens. I wish many become like you.
Oh uncle, it's all for Swami. What can I do? I am His. He is mine. I tell you, uncle, Parthi was awesome. Swami showered so much of grace. Wow, such a fantastic darshan. So close darshan it was. You know, uncle, Swami threw His handkerchief to me. I had so many padanamaskars from Swami. He spoke very little to me though. He was good to me, uncle. I'm blessed. But do you know, uncle, I've always wanted a pendant from Swami. One day, I'm sure He will give.
That's our Swami for you.
Yes. What will I do without Him? But you know something strange, uncle? Swami, He was... You know, He kept calling me Ananda. I kept telling Him, my name is Anand. But He kept calling me Ananda. Who is Ananda, uncle? Which center is He from? I think Swami was asking for Him. Or maybe Swami wants me to change my name.
How cute, Swami, Swami. Who knows His mystery? I don't think this Ananda goes to any of our local centers. But remember, when you were little, I told you a story at Balvikas. The one that Swami narrated in Chinnakada about Ananda, Buddha's very own cousin. When Buddha was enlightened, Ananda, his young cousin, also a prince, embraced the teachings of Lord Buddha and chose to spend his life as Buddha's disciple. Before he was initiated, he made 3 requests to the Lord.
My dear cousin, I want to spend my life dedicated to your path and teachings. I too want this peace that pervades all around you. I am not yet initiated into your order. Once I am, you will be my master, and I cannot make demands of you. I speak now as your elder cousin. I want you to promise me a few things so that I may always be near and dear to you.
I see. My dear brother, tell me, what do you desire?
O enlightened one, I have but three requests to you. My first request is that I should always be with you. Secondly, it is my hope that you shall never talk to anyone in secrecy without me. And finally, you shall never send me away under any circumstances. Will you make these promises to me?
Sure, my dearest one, as you wish.
Whenever I would like you to meet someone, at any time of the day or night, you shall not refuse.
Sure, as you wish.
You and I shall sleep in the same room. You should always be with me.
Yes, my dear Ananda. Yes, yes, as you wish. Is that all? Are there any more? Are you now ready for your initiation?
Yes, I am.
Like this, Ananda ensured his proximity to Buddha. Physically, he was closer than close, nearer than near. He became an avid scholar, proficient in the teachings of his master. Many years later...
Excuse me, uncle. I'm so sorry. I really beg your pardon. I'm really sorry, but I need to go into town for a bhajan workshop. I will take a rain check on that. You need to finish that story for me someday, won't you? And thank you so much, uncle, for clarifying my doubt. Ananda. That must mean I'm dear to Swami.
What happened to that scholarship that you were applying for?
I've already applied, uncle, but there are so many applications. My chances are remote, only if Swami wills.
What about the village adoption project? You said you needed resources.
The children are really in need of money, clothing and food. We need a donor who will appear from somewhere and say, "Don't worry, take this money." Only if Swami can make that happen.
You have a good heart. Ask and Swami will answer.
Over the years, Anand took on bigger and bigger activities, spreading Swami's light in so many ways. Still always in a rush, he would fly in and out, here and there, always making sure Puttaparthi was always included in his itinerary.
You know, Anand, as usual, he was going to the village. And then a speeding car, while standing on a curve bend, couldn't brake.
Doctor! Doctor, please, please don't make this sound like in the movies and say, "We tried our best, but..."
No, nothing like that. He was lucky. We just bandaged some wounds. No broken bones. He had a lucky escape.
guys, I'm okay. I am all right.
We haven't told your parents yet. We just heard this from the villagers and we came here directly.
Anand! Anand! Are you all right?
Uncle, you also came?
Why shouldn't I? We were worried. I thought of coming to see you first and then informing your parents. I didn't want them to get shocked. How did this happen, son?
Uncle, something so strange happened. I was running along to serve the villagers. I was crossing the road and suddenly I saw a speeding car come towards me. Uncle, the speed was so great that I thought that my time has come. I kept staring at the car and suddenly, Uncle, I felt something strange. I felt as if the earth had slanted the car and was pushed to the side. It was really strange. For no apparent reason, the car moved to my left. And in that surprise, I slipped and fell, hurting myself in the process. Uncle, how could that have happened?
It's called grace, my son. Grace. Those who do the Lord's work or serve the Master, grace will protect. Did you know that in the life of the Buddha, a similar story exists?
Time Ananda became Buddha's personal attendant. Ananda served the Lord with devotion and care for 25 years, right up until his master's last moments. Day and night, he served the master, and he was faithful and dedicated, following the master like a shadow. The day, he was always at hand, forestalling the master's slightest wish. At night, stout staff and a large torch in hand, he would go 9 times around the Buddha in order to keep awake in case he were needed, and also to prevent the Buddha's sleep from being disturbed. One day, on a journey,
Master, maybe you should take some rest. You are looking rather tired. Allow me to massage your feet.
My dear Ananda, I am very pleased with you, as you are one of the first monks to be learned, mindful, well-behaved, devoted, and determined. We shall continue our journey.
As they walked, Ananda's brother Devadatta schemed to kill Buddha, as he was rejected by the Buddha, for he wanted to acquire supernatural powers from him. So he devised a plan and let loose an angry elephant on Buddha's way, hoping to kill the Lord. However,
Master! Master! Watch out! There is an elephant! It's coming at us!
Don't worry, Ananda. All will be well.
No, Master. I can't let anything happen to you. It is my duty to protect you.
Ananda, please stop. Ananda, listen to me. Stop.
Master, are you all right? This is my brother Devadatta's doing. I am so ashamed. No, you are not safe. I need to be more vigilant. You are my refuge. How can I let anyone or anything take you away from me? I can't imagine what I will do if anything happens to you. It's my duty to serve and protect you.
My dear Ananda, whether through violence or plots, the Buddha cannot be harmed. You need not be afraid and be ashamed of your brother's actions. Whoever commits the crime is responsible. The Buddha is not in danger. I worry for you, Ananda. You not only serve me wholeheartedly, but you were willing to sacrifice your life to save me. What more can I ask from a devoted and sincere bhikkhu?
Just like the elephant which was stopped and the earth slanted to save his devotee, Swami must have done his leela to stop the accident from happening. Ananda, you are so lucky.
Hey Anand, get well soon, huh?
And come back fast, okay? Don't just sleep here.
And so, Anand recovered from his wounds and continued serving the people until one day, when his world came crashing down, it was the 24th of April 2011. That day and the news it brought left Anand confused and lost. Like so many others, his world had crumbled. His existence and beliefs were challenged. For him, he had lost his Lord.
Of time and so many things were to happen before such a day came, and now what do you expect me to do, Swami? What do you expect me to do? A life without you? You are not my Sai. You are not my Sai. He said he will never leave me. You, on the other hand, have just left like that. I'm helpless without you. No. Swami.
Many people tried hard to comfort Anand and make him see that in fact, well, his Swami had gone nowhere, but all was in vain. Very suddenly,
After that, he just fell off the face of this earth. The world of psi activities, that is, he was simply missing in action. Deliberately. Anand was silently exasperated for months and years. The confusion was too much to bear. He had been running and running, further and further away. He ran and stayed away from the world he knew so well. Anand was struggling and falling deeper and deeper into self-destruction. He felt that with the demise of his physical side, his life was over.
Nowhere. I have to go.
Where?
I have to go.
You're running away?
From whom? You?
No, you. Your own self. How long?
I'm not running away.
You are. You are running away. You have never come to the center. You stopped all your activities.
It's painful.
Only for you?
No. I feel lost. Lost, brother. I feel lost without Swami. I feel a void. I feel unenthusiastic. And I feel depressed. I feel like He doesn't love me anymore. He just doesn't exist anymore. He's gone. He's gone.
Without Swami? Gone? Where has He gone? Swami is always with us. Here. Here. And most importantly, here. He is here. There. He is everywhere.
Everywhere is not good enough. I want Him somewhere.
You were so active. You were a star. But is your understanding of Sai that shallow?
I know all the philosophy. I've been to all the study circles.
Brother, there is no point in attending study circles. You need to apply the knowledge.
I've read all Swami's discourses.
Of what use?
I've read His books.
Knowledge without practice is useless, Swami said.
All I know does not change how I feel, brother.
What you knew is just information crammed in your head.
I know.
You don't know.
I do.
Your heart hasn't felt what you knew. Knowing is great. Good job. But you clearly do not believe what you read and hear. Even from our own Swami. You got immersed in doing. You forgot the essence and spirit of the messages.
Do not believe our Swami? How could you say that? You know how long I've been a Sai devotee? You know how many interviews I've had with Swami? How can I not believe Him? I'm just going through some spiritual confusion.
Spiritual confusion? Right. Okay. So, Anand, don't get me wrong. We all may have enjoyed the blessed experience of being within the physical proximity with our Lord. And now, all that is left are but sweet memories. All of us alike, but nothing has changed. He
He is still here. What is there to miss?
He's here.
Here. There. Everywhere.
Sai Ram.
Eh,
Anand.
Sai Ram, uncle. Sai Ram, I'm just leaving. How are you, uncle? How are you?
Anand, where have you been? And what happened to your scholarship for your, your higher...
Uncle, they told me I have a very slim chance. I have lost hope, uncle.
Not just in scholarship, but in everything.
No, I've not lost hope in everything. I'm working part-time. Work is going on as usual. Just going through a little bit of a weird patch, as I was just saying to this brother here.
There is always hope, brother. But yet, there is always grace no matter where you are. He is the master, and he has gone nowhere. We're all used to having him right here. But wait, look, he's still here. You think he does not know what you're going through? Everything he does is for our benefit. Even this conversation is his plan. Everything he does is for our own education.
Look, I came to Swami when I was young. I was a child. My devotion and attachment towards Swami came easily. He has been my rock all through my life. The perils of school, the terrible teenage years, the curious days of my youth. Even now, I know somewhere deep down, I know he is there. I just can't see him like we did before, you know? Like you said, brother, it's all just sweet memories. And now there's no pull. Oh.
We all loved the physical side, but he has gone nowhere. The journey was easy before. Just get on a plane, a train, a car, or a bus. But now, the journey is even more demanding. It covers no kilometers and yet is more challenging for most of us. Sometimes we get lost in the activities and truly forget why we fell in love with him. And we ultimately forget what he was trying to tell us all along.
You mean to say you don't miss Swami? What kind of a Sai devotee are you, brother? I miss him. I hate that he isn't here. I miss him. I'm at my wit's end. I need a sign. I need him back.
And while you wait for the sign, the children in the village adoption program continue to suffer.
Has no one come forward?
Who will come forward when you have gone backward? Who will come forward when you have gone backward? Today is Buddha Purnima. Wake up. Stop this. Get connected to the teachings and live. Do you know every true devotee goes through this phase? Your agony must be the same as how Ananda went through in the last days of the Buddha. When it was close to the time for the Buddha to shed his mortal body, Ananda was the most distraught amongst all the disciples and monks. He was in deep anguish. He was inconsolable, and the other monks did not know how to pacify him. Out of mercy, Buddha looked at Ananda and smiled. He asked,
Ananda, why do you cry? I have done everything that you wanted me to do. I have fulfilled all your wishes during this entire time that you have been with me.
Master! Master! I am lost! I don't know what I will do with my life now. I breathe the same air that you did. I did everything that you wanted me to do. But I have not attained enlightenment. And now I feel my life is hopeless. Master, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to live without you, Master. I just don't know anymore.
What can I do, Ananda? I did everything that you wanted me to do. I always knew that if I fulfilled your wishes, I would only be hindering your spiritual progress. But you were not willing to forget that I was your younger brother. You wanted to retain all those privileges. Your surrender was conditional. Perhaps my death shall make it unconditional.
Master? 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 Master!
Remember the last Parthi trip? Swami called you Ananda. Why?
Why, uncle?
To be like Ananda. He too experienced a loss. But that was temporary. He soon rose, for he realized the Master never leaves. For the Master lives on.
I must continue to think. He is here.
Don't think. Feel his presence.
Uncle, I'll try. But I can't imagine how he can hear me now.
Think. What is your Swami's ultimate message to all of us? What is his expectation for us? Pull your life together. There is so much you can do. But don't wallow in self-pity. Arise, my friend. Fall not like a brick, but like a ball. Bounce. Come back for bhajans. Come back for study circles. Come for seva activities. Let your mind always be reminded and be engaged in His work. That is the power of Sangha.
Uncle, Swami has given so much to me. I must give back. Uncle, I will. I must. I cannot imagine so many times He has given me personal attention. I should cherish those moments and do my best.
That's the spirit, my son. Don't worry. Swami will look after you wherever He is.
Uncle, I am currently working part-time. I really don't have any direction. I don't know. Hello? Yes. I did apply. What? Really? When?
What happened?
Uncle, it's a scholarship. They rang me up. I got it. Already applied. But there are thousands of applications. My chances are so remote. Only if Swami will. Swami. Thank you, Swami. Thank you.
See, Anand. The Master lives on. Swami is here, there, everywhere.
Mr. Anand, I was on my way home and they told me that you will be here. I must say, I was impressed with the village improvement program.
Oh, hello sir, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm here to give you a personal donation of $10,000 for the children's need. I think it's good work and you must continue. Take this money here.
The children there really need money for clothing and food. We need a donor who will appear from somewhere and say, don't worry, take this money. Only Swami can make that happen. Oh God, oh Swami, am I dreaming? It's a pendant. Swami's pendant.
Pendant? That's strange. I have no idea of a pendant. I didn't put this in. I only put a check.
But you know, I always wanted a blessed pendant of Swami's. One day, I'm sure He will give. Swami, you have never left us. You are here. You are here. You are everywhere. The Master lives on. The Master lives on. The Master lives on. This is surely His grace. My Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, I love you so much. You live forever through all of us and of all this creation. You are my Master. You are my God. I seek refuge in you, my Sai. I seek refuge in fulfilling my dharma towards you. I seek refuge in forever being reminded of your greatness and your mission. And through the company of your instruments, I will be in your communion and engage in service with my loving Sai brothers and sisters. Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami. Sangam Sharanam Gacchami. Satya Sai Sharanam Gacchami.
Sai Nath Bhagwan. Sai Nath Bhagwan.
Satyam Shivam Shivam.
Bye. ಸ್ವರೂಪ ವಿಘ್ನ ವಿನಾಶ ಮಂಗಳದಾಯಕ
ನಂದ ಕಿಶೋರ Sai Ram.
Hello. सत्य साई भगवान,
जन्म जन्म मेरे साथ रहो तुम सत्य साई
Love is my farm, truth is my bread.
Expansion is my life.
My life is my message. Expansion is my life.
My life is my message. Expansion is my life.
My life is my message. Expansion is my life.
No reason for love. No reason for love. No bad. No death.
No season for love.
Ananda, Shanti, Satya, Ananda.
Prema, Satya, Ananda, Shanti, Satya, Ananda.
Prema, Satya, Ananda, Shanti, Dharma, Ananda.
Love
is my farm, truth is my bread, peace is my food.
Love is my farm, truth is my bread, peace is my food.
Love is my farm, truth is my bread, peace is my food.
Love is my farm.
Narayana, Narayana, Om Satya Narayana, Narayana,
loka sukino bhavantu samasta loka sukino bhavantu samasta loka sukino
Jai Guru Bhagavan.